I hate the moment when I'm dressing for a party and I slip into my favorite jeans and they won't zip. And I don't mean that the zipper is stuck. I mean that these clothes either shrunk or I've inexplicably grown out of them. And now I'm faced with the decision. I'm either going to replace my wardrobe or I'm going to lose the dreaded weight. Ugh. Dieting. Who likes to diet? I don't like messing with my feed bowl in the least bit, but I know that there are three reasons, three activities that created this problem. One, I ate too much. Two, I ate the wrong foods. And three, I didn't exercise enough. If you're anything like me, you will spend the next few weeks, maybe even months, in counterattack with some of the following activities, like pondering my upcoming weight loss tactics, reading diet books, looking for recent breakthroughs that won't involve dieting. I go to the gym and sit in the spa, and in the end, I return to the hard facts of the matter. I'm not an idiot. If I want results, I must attend to the three activities that will reverse the trend. You know what they are. I have to eat less. I have to eliminate the empty calories. And I have to exercise more. Period. It's not rocket science. It is simply the activities that must be engaged in to have a payoff. And they are certainly the only activities with a high payoff. I may worry and excuse myself, but in the end, these are the only high payoff activities that are going to get me back into that pair of jeans. But I'm not here today to talk about weight loss. This is a discussion of growing your business and doing the things that we know will have a high payoff and have proven successful. And like anyone faced with a diet, we as business owners oftentimes know the truth, but we struggle and ignore the reality that we have to get in the zone of practicing high payoff activities. So what are the high payoff activities? Well, number one is managing your cash. This is very much like portion control, isn't it? I might just have to eat less. Number two, high payoff activity, the getting and retaining of customers. In other words, I've got to get more exercise. I've got to work it more. And number three, high payoff activity in business is developing your delivery systems and the people who develop your product and service, which really means eating the right foods, not the empty calories, right? So before we go into any detail about those high payoff activities, I want to talk about the facts about business, small business, in this country. 57% of small businesses fail in their first year. 80% are gone after 5 years. Business owners work too hard and receive too little reward, at least in our own minds. Most small businesses are chaotic. They don't serve the owner's lives. Business owners often feel trapped and consumed by their businesses. Business owners perform too many functions. There are few systems. They rely on personalities to run the business instead of systems. And there is confusion about accountability, authority, and who reports to whom. And that's just a few of the facts about U.S. businesses. So what do you believe is the biggest challenge that small business owners face? It's probably not what you think, but it's certainly going to lend itself well to this conversation. And I've given you a hint when I brought up dieting. The number one challenge that business owners face is focus. So we're going to learn to focus on high payoff activities. Now, before we do that, I want to break myth number one. Myth number one is that you need to be an obsessive insomniac, you know, this 70, 80 hour a week worker, to succeed in business. I don't believe it. I believe that we create and apply systems that make our job focused and the path easy. I believe that systems run the business and people run the systems. I didn't make it up, but I could not be more evangelical about that as a truth. Which leads me to part two, busting myth number two. Business owners need to find extraordinary people, and then they will be successful. I don't think so. Again, what we need are extraordinary systems that run the business and ordinary people to run the systems. If you are relying on extraordinary people, you will beat your head against the extraordinary people wall time after time after time. And when those extraordinary people choose to leave your business because you have no systems, they will take all their systems with them. Let's bust the extraordinary people myth here and now. So let's take these one by one. Cash flow management, customer relationship management, and delivery systems one by one. Cash flow management. Every business needs money and it needs to manage its cash flow. Without cash, there isn't a business. This is not going to be a lesson in how to borrow money, capitalize yourself, or understand your financials, even though you do need to understand your financials. This is a lesson in understanding an even more universal truth. When money comes into your business, I mean somebody hands you money for your product or service, and believe you me, it never ever loses its thrill. Whose money is it? Well, let me tell you the story of my pal Frank. Frank was a vendor of mine as a wholesale distributor. He had a record label. He was an artist and a graphic designer. And when he decided to go into business, people rallied around him to buy his products and services. In fact, we were all very excited at how successful Frank was. Frank was pretty wound up about how successful he was as well. And he'd actually come down to our office once a month to collect his checks. And that's where I learned a lot about Frank. Well, it turned out that Frank had a penchant for new computer equipment and motorcycles. So on those days that he would pick up his check, 9 times out of 10, he'd go buy something really cool. And it took about a year or two, somewhere in that 1 to 2 year range, where I started to find out what was going on in Frank's business. He wasn't making payroll. His manufacturers were cutting him off. They were calling me to find out what I could do about it. All of the artists that were supplying him with product had not been paid. Again, they started calling me to find out what I could do about it. It only took another year before Frank filed for bankruptcy, and he stiffed all of those people. The story in here is that as he was in bankruptcy and everybody else was angry, and boy, didn't I hear about it, the trustee from the bankruptcy court called me up because all of his inventory was sitting in my warehouse and said, would you dump this stuff for me? I said, yeah, sure, I'll dump this stuff for you. How much are you going to pay me to do it? We came up with a fee. And within a few months, I was able to pull off a deal, getting rid of all of his inventory to hand over to the court. I took my cut out of it and turned around and gave it to his general manager, who hadn't been paid in a very long time. This man literally went out and bought groceries. I always wonder what keeps people working for people like that. But here's the lesson. The lesson is this. For a lot of small business owners, the answer to whose money is it is simply mine. The money is mine. And what do I do with it? I spend it. Wrong. Until you understand that money belongs to the business and not to you, you will constantly strap your company for cash, and it can, and often does, die. So try this. You need a budget. It doesn't have to be a complicated budget. Budgets evolve as more cash evolves. But even so, think about it this way. Divide every dollar you have into thirds. Put one third towards each of your high payoff activities. So that means one third of each dollar goes towards getting and keeping your customers, sales, and marketing. Another third goes towards delivering your product and service, or developing the people who develop your product and service. And the other third is your infrastructure, your cash flow. If there's ever a question about how much advertising you can afford, or how much equipment you can afford, or more specifically, how much you can afford to pay your employees and yourself, it makes it an easy decision when you have a budget. And remember that as sole proprietors, if that's the way you're running your business, you literally get paid after everybody else gets paid. So when you're looking at that third of a dollar sitting in your cash flow infrastructure, think about what is there to pay you after the rent, the lights, the heats, and the internet connection. You need a budget. Let's move on to customer relationship management. Well, along with cash, you need customers. And you need to keep your customers. If you do not have enough business, you'll have to go out and get it. This is commonly called selling. And many a business owner hates to do it. If you hate to do it, you gotta hire someone to do it. Lots of business owners think they don't have to do it. That's known as the I am here and they will come syndrome. I have taken an ad or sent out a postcard and I'm going to sit by my phone and wait for it to ring syndrome. Think again. When times are good, you have to plan for the times that aren't. And when times aren't, you have to get off your butt and sell. You must get in front of your prospects. You must fill your sales funnel. You cannot survive without sales. So picture this. If I run across the room at a block of ice and I hurl my body at that ice, I don't have much of an impact on it, except that I might hurt myself. Now, if I'm a typical business owner / salesperson, I'm going to dust myself off, go back to the side of the room, and run at that block of ice again. I might even do it a third time, hoping that this time that impact will dissolve or melt my customer. I guarantee you, I will not do it a fourth time. So why do we sometimes fail with sales? We're just not persistent enough. Do you know that it takes an average of 7 touches for someone to put your name, your company, and your product together in their brain? 7 touches. I just illustrated 3 rather painful touches. But the more personal those touches, the more effective those touches are. And now, just to raise the ante on you, many marketers now agree on the law of 29. Well, if it takes an average of 7 touches for somebody to put you and your product and your company name together, what happens with 29 touches? It takes an average, again, of 22 more touches for them to be ready to buy your product or service from you. And that depends, of course, those averages, on how complicated your product is. If it's an ice cream cone, it may take less. If it's a hot day, it's an ice cream cone, I might not need that many reminders from you. But believe you me, if you're a business consultant, it takes a few more. So let's talk about personal touches. The more I can touch you in a personal relationship way, the more powerful those touches are. So what is the most personal touch? Well, you probably know that a face-to-face conversation with a prospect or a customer is personal as you can get. It's the best touch. So if I see people sitting at their desk waiting for the phone to ring, imagine which touch I'm going to recommend. Get out there and talk to your customers. Network. Go to events. Get in front of them. Invite them for lunch or for breakfast. Never eat alone. Remember, having conversation and being personable with them is the most powerful touch that you can make. So what comes second in that hierarchy? Well, I would say a conversation. Having a phone conversation that's two-way and live is the next most personal touch. So sometimes we can meet with somebody, but sometimes we can have a phone conversation. Now, there are hundreds of other types of touches, and we have to start to mix them up and use them correctly and realize that some people respond to some touches and some don't, and that it takes a lot. The important marketing minute here is that you realize that you need to be consistent, ongoing, not give up, blend it all together. So let's go through the list for a minute. What would be the next most personal? Well, maybe a handwritten snail mail letter. Very personal. Very me to you. How about email address to email address? My email address with a personal note to your email address. Then comes blogging, social networking, something that's two-way, interactive. That might be the next type of personal touch you can make, followed by an email blast. And working its way up the ladder to broadcasting. Remember, email blasts are a broadcast, and they're a broadcast that ends up in a lot of spam filters, so it actually works its way down, but that doesn't mean that email blasts with good content can't be effective, as can be a good radio advertisement or even a television ad. But depends on your budget. The old saying is, those of us who can afford it advertise, those who can't, sell. The reason that most people don't succeed in their sell is that, one, they either don't do it all or they're not persistent enough. They give up after one or two touches, sure that someone doesn't want their product or service, when the reality is they haven't even figured out what your product or service is yet. Let's talk about delivery systems. This is you delivering your product or service or the people who deliver your product or service. So you've got customers. Yay! And now you're starting to deliver your product and service. And that can be a huge challenge, especially if you're in fact growing with any speed. There is no better way to lose customers than to have less than stellar quality or delivery. Let me say that again. There is no better way to lose customers than to not have quality service or good delivery of your product. It is assumed these days that you will have good quality and great delivery and service. It is not something that you can say a particular benefit or specific core competency of your business anymore. It is a requirement of being in business that you have these things. So how are you going to do it? You need systems that you can repeat over and over again that get you good at your delivery. And these systems, they may include production and process, but they may also include hiring and training, and they may include your own continued education. But here is the real trick of the matter. Let's draw an organizational chart. You know, that kind of pyramid thing where there's a square up at the top and then under it are all these squares all stacked up on top of each other. It's supposed to illustrate what the jobs are going up the hierarchy, who reports to who, and who has authority over what. Now, for the sake of this conversation, you could do that traditional type of chart. I tend to really like much more interesting chart styles that don't have that classic hierarchy, but draw it any way you want. Squares, circles, flat, or tall. If your business in your org chart, and here's the point, has you and your name in every one of the squares, no matter where they are, you have to accept that you can only grow your business to the extent that you can physically do the work. If you want to grow your business, and you want to develop people, and you want to develop systems, and you want to be really good at what you do, you have to develop systems and plug other people into those squares. You have to replace yourself. If you already have people and you're still overwhelmed, your high payoff activity is building those systems and changing your mindset from doing it all yourself and leading others to success. It's a matter of changing your mindset from doing it all yourself to leading others to success. For instance, I have a client that complains she works 24/7. She can never get ahead. She's exhausted. She delivers. The work is coming in and she thinks she's growing her business. She gets enough money, but she's too tired and knows that she can't keep it up. She's asking me if I think she should hire an administrative assistant, to which I reply, well, you can if you can afford it. It's an awfully nice thing. But if you want to really grow your business, if you really want to get some traction in your business, you have to fill the area with the most demand. You have to fill in a high payoff activity. So for her case, she's got the sales and the customers, but she's having trouble delivering all the product. And so I recommend to her, hire admin help if you have the money. It's a luxury. It's nice. However, what she really needs is somebody to be involved in the delivery of her product or service. Well, she doesn't like that answer. Why? Because she is a graphic artist. She feels that there's a personal side to everything that she delivers. I said, that's fine. If this is the extent to which you want to grow, if you think that you have to fill all the slots on delivery, then you will sell, and deliver until you're exhausted and tired over and over and over again. To solve the problem, she needs to create a system by which other people can deliver her product and service no matter how individualized, the way she wants it delivered, and what the client is expecting. You see what I mean? If she had come to me and said, I'm sitting by the phone waiting for it to ring, nobody is calling me for my product or service, I would have sent her to the other high payoff activity we just covered. I would tell her to engage in those touches that will build the relationship she needs to attract customers. And if she was not willing to do that, then she should involve other people in developing a system by which that happens. Organizational development. You can only grow your business as far as your org chart allows. It's called a roller coaster in a small business where you go up the slope, selling, down the slope, delivering, until you don't have any customers left, and then up the slope you go, and nothing will make you more exhausted. Think in terms of systems. Well, I can hear you now. I can hear your complaint. I know what it is, and you're right. Let's talk turkey about time management. You just don't have the time to build the systems, train the people, focus on your drip marketing plan. How are you going to get it all done? It's just impossible. And so this focus on high payoff activities actually comes down to business versus busyness. Are you focused on $10 an hour activities, or are you focused on $100 an hour activities? These are the things you must look at no matter what size your business is at. Are you busy, or are you conducting business? Are you focused on a high payoff activity, or are you not? So here's the way you can test yourself to figure out where you're at. Take a time inventory. How many hours do you spend within your business? Well, for the sake of example, let's say you spend 40 hours in your business. Great. 40 hours in your business. Well, there's a little bit of travel time, and there's some eating, and there's some fussing around. So once you get down to your 38 hours a week of time, how much of those are in high payoff activities? Well, take a daily log for a week. Write down what you're doing with every minute of your day. Are you drinking coffee and looking on the internet, doing your email, and fussing with your website? Or are you taking care and finding customers and delivering your product or service? Easy thing to do. Get a green highlighter pen and a red highlighter pen. At the end of your week, anything that's a high payoff activity is green. And everything that is not a high payoff activity or its busyness is a red highlighter. If your log looks like a bloodbath at the end of your week, then you know that you are not focused on high payoff activities. You are not building systems, training people, and focusing on your marketing. You are not managing yourself in terms of time. I had a teacher who brought in a big jar as a demonstration one day, a huge jar. He held the jar up in the class and he said, "This jar represents all my time. And right now it's empty. I've got all the time there is, all the time in the world. But wait, there's some things that are important to me." And he sets it down and he starts to fill it up with rocks. He fills it up to the brim with rocks. All the way up. He says, "What do you think? I have filled up my time. Do you think my time is full?" Well, some of the people in the class said, "Yeah, you certainly could never fit another rock in there. That jar is full. There's nothing more that you have time for." But other people who are more entrepreneurial in the room said, "Are you kidding me? I could fit a ton more in there. I think he's being sneaky." Sure enough, he pulls out a sack full of gravel. He pours the gravel in the jar and it fills up between the rocks. "See, I can fit plenty more in with my time." "Do you think that the jar is full now?" he asked the class. And still, there were those people who were in agreement with him. "Yeah, sure, that's just about all that you can fill in there." But there were some who knew that this guy was working up to somebody and something, and they weren't about to let it go. And sure enough, he comes out with a sack full of sand, pours the sand up to the top in between the pebbles and the rocks, and says, "Look, I've put a whole lot more into my time. Am I full now?" Again, some say yes, some say no, and those of us who are entrepreneurial really are wondering if the time has been filled. Nope. Here comes his jug of water. He pours the water in up to the top. Is it full now? Unanimous decision. "You know what? There is nothing more that can go in that jar." And he said, "You know what? I agree with you. Nothing more is going to go in this jar. It is filled to the brim with rocks and gravel and sand and water. Nothing more is going in. Your time is full." Now, what's the lesson that I wanted to teach today? Well, a couple people in the class said, "Well, you know what? You can cram a lot in your time. That's all there is to it. You can cram a lot into it." And he said, well, that's in fact true. But that's not the lesson I wanted to teach today. Nobody knew what he had up his sleeve until he said, just remember when you are filling your time to put the big rocks in first.